Hello and welcome back to the 18 Yards podcast. I've got with me, as always, Ali here today. For today's episode, we're going to be having a little bit of fun because there's not much club football to talk about and the international break isn't that interesting. What we're going to be doing today is we're going to be making a draft and coming up with two teams. One is Ali's, one is mine, of what we think were the best players from 2010 to 2020. Now, the disclaimer is that this is strictly based on an eye test for me and Ali. This is our opinion. So I may like a certain player. That's why he's in the team. He's not necessarily the best player in that position in the last 11 years. Obviously, the pool of 40 players that we've picked are the best in their position. That's definitely there. But from the 40 players, it's based on an eye test and based on personal preference. So, Ari, before we get into doing the draft and coming up with our teams, not much to talk about this week, but I think we can kick off the podcast by talking a little bit about the fiasco in Brazil. I don't know if you wanna give your thoughts on that. I mean, I for one, I found it hilarious how sort of these guys walked on the field and almost caused a brawl between the players and the Brazilian health officials. And it was a bit of a mess. I don't know if you saw what happened.
Oh, the only thing that I would gather from that entire fiasco was, you know, the Brazilian authorities acted like generic Bollywood Indian police. I mean, it took them three days to realize something fishy was going on. I mean, it was, the entire thing was top-class entertainment. I mean, forget what football offers you on the field. I mean, people should watch football for stuff like this. I mean, this is prime time entertainment. Brilliant.
Yeah, I think, you know, it sort of also signified how much of a mess this international break has been. You know, so many players didn't go. The ones that have gone are now having to go to different islands in Europe to quarantine. You know, so it's been a bit of a mess, and I don't know what precedents it sets for the next international break in October. So let's see what happens. And it's sort of, you know, signifying the conflict between UEFA and FIFA and the clubs and the sort of governing bodies. And, you know, with proposals such as a World Cup every 2 years, which obviously, I mean, if we get into that, that's a whole different topic. I don't think either of us supports that idea. It's just sort of this entire clubs versus governing authorities is getting a little ugly. But moving on to brighter and better things, let's get right into our draft. So just how we're going to do this is we can't pick the same player for both our teams. So Ari, I'm going to graciously let you go first. We'll go position by position. I'll read out the four players that we have per position. In midfield, we'll have a few more. And then Ali can pick, and I'll pick, and then I'll pick again, and then Ali can pick, and so on and so forth. Does that sound good, Ali? Fair?
Yeah, I think that sounds perfect to me.
And tomorrow, when this episode is out, we can put it to vote. We'll put out some graphics on our Instagram and put it to vote whose team was better and whose team would come out on top. Okay, so getting right into it, with the goalkeepers, we've got Manuel Neuer, World Cup winner, Champions League winner, two-time Champions League winner, and, you know, all-round wall, basically. I think that 2010 World Cup was the first sort of worldwide glimpse of what Neuer could do. You know, I remember him playing this game against Algeria where he was just sweeping everything, and the sweeper keeper Neuer was born. Then we've got Gianluigi Buffon. Obviously led the Italian team through a couple of troubled tournaments, but they did get the Euros final in 2012. They did pretty well in the 2016 Euros. And, you know, a couple of Champions League finals with Juventus. And he's obviously been one of the better shot stoppers of our time. Then we've got David De Gea, who was at one point the best goalkeeper in the world. And finally, we've got Iker Casillas, World Cup winner, Euros winner just in this decade, Champions League winner, La Liga winner. So that's a tough field to pick from. So I'm going to let you go first. Ari, who you got?
Yeah, you know, if I had to go with my heart, obviously it's going to be Iker Casillas, because, you know, this guy was my role model growing up. You know, for the person he was off the field, you know, all the struggles, and he was playing, captaining my favorite club. But if I had to make a pick, I'd choose Manuel Neuer. I mean, this guy revolutionized goalkeeping, in my opinion. You know, before 2000, I see this decade in goalkeeping as before Manuel Neuer in 2014 and after Manuel Neuer in 2014. I mean, the way, like you mentioned, against Algeria, that he came, you know, he came out of the box, almost playing the role of a sweeper, you know, giving balls to the term sweeper, keeper. I think, forget the trophy that he's won. You know, he's won two trebles, one of them sextuple. He's won the World Cup. He's won numerous trophies, but forget that. The fact that this guy revolutionized keeping this last decade makes him an easy pick, in my opinion, as the goalkeeper for my team.
Sorry, I think I messed up. I said 2010 World Cup for the Germany-Algeria, which I think it was 2014. So that's my bad. But I am going to go for Buffon. I think for me, it was either Casillas or Buffon after you picked Neuer, because Neuer was the clear pick here. But I've gone Buffon simply because I think consistency is a big factor. I think the guy's still playing, although he's playing in Serie B for Parma now. I mean, just in the last 10 years, till from 2010 to 2020, the guy's played for Juventus and PSG, which are two massive clubs. And I think he's looking at that third spot, third goalkeeper spot for the 2022 World Cup in with Italy. So I've gone for Buffon, obviously, consistency over time. Now, moving on to left-back, we have Marcelo, multiple-time Champions League winner. Jordi Alba won the Champions League in 2011, won the Euros in 2012. We have David Alaba, won the Champions League again twice. He's been very vital for his country, very versatile. And then finally, we have Evra. I think the last left-back spot here was a little contested because we couldn't really find someone who had been consistent over all the years. But I think Evra did well at United in the early part of the decade. And then he was good for Juventus as well in one of their Champions League runs. So I am going to go with Marcelo here. He's the easiest pick, and I know it's gonna piss you off that I picked him. So I'm going with Marcelo at left back.
Brilliant pick.
And who are you going with?
Jordi Alba. I think he's been the best left back, only second to Marcelo this last decade. As you said, he won the Euros, brilliant at the Euros 2012 Euros. You know, won the treble with Barcelona 2015. And, you know, he's been so consistent for the team. Captained Spain at the last Euros when Busquets was injured in 2022. He might not have the best personality on the field, to be very honest. I've seen him play in Classico. I don't really like the guy, but I respect the way he played. I mean, I really like him as a player. So I think I'm going to play Jordi Alba, who, in my opinion, has been the second best left back this last decade.
Right. And I'm going to now let you take us through the centre-backs and make your two picks, and then I'll make mine before you take us through the right-backs.
Yeah, so for centre-backs, we have Sergio Ramos, Gerard Pique. Both of them were integral in the Spanish dominance in the start of the decade, and both of them were integral part of the Champions League winning teams. We have Bonucci and Chiellini. I mean, these guys, consistency. If you wanted consistent players, these guys are the cover boys for consistency. You know, they've been there in the Italian setup for a long, long time. And to round it off, we have Jerome Boateng of Germany, another brilliant centre-back, and obviously Vincent Kompany, who is Mr. Manchester City. I mean, he was there when Manchester City was before 2008. He was there before 2008, and he's led Manchester City into a new era. So these are our six centre-backs that we've chosen as our pool. Now, if I had to pick one centre-back out of these six, obviously I'd pick my favourite player of the last decade, Spanish-Spain captain, Madrid ex-captain Sergio Ramos. brilliant player, you know, brilliant. Firstly, he's an excellent leader. I think the best leader we've had last decade. He's a goal scoring defender who's brilliant at defending, and obviously he'll come up and score clutch goals for you. Obviously, I'll give the example of the 2014 Champions League final. Popped up in added time, scored the header to make it 1-1. A complete letting of the game. Sergio Ramos is my pick, my first pick for centre back. Rai, who's your pick for centre back? Your first centre back.
I've gone with Giorgio Chiellini. You know, like Buffon, very very consistent, and that's finally paid off at the international level this summer. I mean, this guy and Bonucci could write a book on the art of defending. And like Mourinho said, that both of them could teach a course on how to defend at university. So I think for me, it's my first centre back pick is Chiellini.
Right. So I was going to pick Chiellini, but since you picked him, I'm going to pick a player who I think cries a lot during El Clasicos, but I think a brilliant player again. I don't like the guy personally because he plays for Barcelona. He's always hated Madrid, but I'm going to pick Gerard Piqué. You know, a lot of people, due to recency bias, you know, he's not been great last 2-3 seasons. People often disregard Piqué, but he was absolutely sensational from 2010, from his Barcelona debut to 2016-17. Then, you know, he's won two Champions League in the last decade. He's won the World Cup. He's won the Euros. And he's been one of the most important players in all these winning teams. And I think Gerard Piqué, for me, partnering with Sergio Ramos, and that you have the Spanish defense right there, you know, the one that dominated the world football for so many years. So I think I'm going to pick Gerard Piqué as my second choice centre-back.
Right. And I'm going to raise your Spanish centre-back partnership with my Italian centre-back partnership. I'm going to go with Bonucci. So I think, you know, if you go Chiellini and you have the option of going Bonucci as well, then that's the only way to go. So I've gone Chiellini, Bonucci. Now, right backs, Ali, we've got four. Why don't you take us through this heavily, heavily La Liga-centric right back options?
Yeah, so we have Dani Alves. Formed a brilliant partnership with Messi on the right flank for Barcelona over the years. Was brilliant for PSG, was brilliant for Juventus when he went there. But his prime years came for Barcelona starting of the decade till 2015-14. Second pick, we have Philipp Lahm, another great leader. We've already talked about Ramos. Lahm was another one of those inspirational, motivational leaders to have in your team. Could play as a defensive midfielder, but his glory days came as right back. Won the World Cup for Germany, won the treble with Bayern Munich. Then we have Dani Carvajal, you know, I massively underrated right back. You know, he won the, he did the Champions League three-peat with Real Madrid, won the Euros with Spain. He's been consistent for all these years, brilliant in defense, brilliant attack. And for the fourth left back in our pool is Kyle Walker, you know, right back in a pool of right back is Kyle Walker. He was brilliant for Spurs, even though he didn't have any trophy to show for his excellence. He was consistently one of the top players in the Premier League. For City, obviously, he's won the Premier League so many times. He's been the best right back in the Premier League for a lot of... And he's been really consistent. So, Ryan, I'll go straight to you. Who is your first pick for the right back position?
It's your pick, not mine. I picked Bonucci. So, you've got to go before me and then I'll take my pick.
Thank God. I mean, because, you know, I really want Dani Alves in my team. I mean, that guy was just brilliant. He's tormented the Madrid attack, the Madrid defense for so many years. And, you know, he's, like I said, he formed that partnership with Messi on the right flank was brilliant. It has to be Dani Alves.
What's also important to point out about Dani Alves is I think he's the first guy that really revolutionized the wing-back position. You know, I mean, bombing up and down, that really attacking fullback, which you see so much more of now. And it was really nice to see him in the Brazil squad, you know, for this international break. Obviously, he led the Brazil.
Yeah. And he won a gold medal.
Yeah, in the Olympics. But
talk about consistency.
That's a sort of a lower-level squad, but he was back in the main squad. Him and Hulk, actually. I saw Hulk on the sidelines as well. So that was nice.
Yeah.
But for me, I've gone Philip Lahm. I think if Danny Alves is out of the equation, or actually even if Danny Alves was in the equation, I think Philip Lahm is a brilliant option because I've got Marcelo in my team who, you know, then if Lahm is there as a sort of a defensive fullback, then Marcelo has the option of bombing up and down the wing. But, you know, like you said, Lahm, leader, he can play anywhere on the field, basically except goalkeeper and striker. And World Cup winner, Champions League winner, just all-round fantastic player. So moving on from the defense to the midfield position. So we've clubbed CDM, center attacking mid, and the central midfielders into a pool of 10. It's mainly dominated by central midfielders, and we've got 3 CDMs and 2 attacking midfielders in there as well. So I'll take 5 of the names, and Ari, you can take 5. So we've got Xavi and Iniesta. I think that's the dream midfield of the last 15 years, probably. Andrea Pirlo, who's one of the players that sort of made me fall in love with football. Luka Modric, you know, I think the first player to break the Ronaldo Messi hold on the Ballon d'Or. Toni Kroos, you know, World Cup winner, multiple Champions League winner. Ali, what about the other 5 players? Who all have we got in here?
We have N'Golo Kante, since he's made his debut in the Premier League for Leicester City. An excellent buy from Leicester, first of all. Brilliant scouting. He's been the best defensive midfielder, one of the best defensive midfielders in the world for a long time. Integral in the Champions League winning side last year. Integral in Leicester winning the Premier League. Defying all odds in the Premier League, integral in Chelsea in the Premier League, and obviously being one of France's main man in their World Cup winning squad. We have Sergio Busquets, who, you know, Vincent Del Bosque, the legendary Spanish manager, once said, "You watch the entire game, you don't see Busquets, but you watch Busquets and you see the entire game." So that proves how underrated he is and how integral he's been to all the teams he's played for, Spain and Barcelona. Then we have Casemiro, you know, on the bad boys of football. You know, he'll get a red card for the team. He doesn't care. You know, he'll make that last man tackle if that means the team's winning. A completely reliable player. Then obviously we have De Bruyne and Thomas Muller, one of the best centre attacking mids of our time. Especially Thomas Muller, who won the World Cup Golden Boot 11 years ago and won 2 trebles with Bayern Munich, won the World Cup into 2014, scoring another 5 goals in the process. He's already scored 11 goals in the World Cup and he'll most probably score more goals next year. And obviously, you have Kevin De Bruyne, who needs no introduction. I mean, he's won 2 Premier League Player of the Year consecutively. And he's, you know, we often speak about Pep Roulette, but he's one of those players who are always on the, who's always first name in Pep's team sheet for any Manchester City game. So Rayhan, who are you picking as your first midfielder? That's a really important position.
I think I'm going to go with Iniesta. I think Xavi was probably the past master, but I think Iniesta was just so much more, played so much more at a higher level this decade, that I'm going to go with Iniesta.
Brilliant pick in my opinion. I would have gone for him too. But since you've already taken Iniesta, I'm going to go with, you know, there might be better players than him in this position, but I'll go with Toni Kroos. I've always felt he hasn't got his due for all the stuff he's done for his team. He was one of the best players in the World Cup when Germany won it, best players in the Bayern Munich treble winning team, and then again, one of the best players in the Madrid three-peat. I really like him, so I'm going to go with Toni Kroos.
Right, then I will go with... I'm going to be nice here and I'm going to go with Andre Pirlo and I'm going to let you take Xavi.
Andre Pirlo is a brilliant player. Huh? You know?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I was going to take Pirlo anyways. But he's been one of my favorite players of all time. But that's why, yeah. So I think I've got him at the base of my midfield.
I'm not going to pick Xavi. I'm going to go straight away and pick I'm going to pick Sergio Busquets. I mean, obviously, you know, Xavi and Iniesta got all the limelight in their time in the Holy Trinity midfield, but it was Sergio Busquets. He was holding that midfield together. I mean, if not for Sergio Busquets, Barcelona probably wouldn't have won what they won. Like I said, you know, he's been underrated all his life, and he was integral for Spain at the Euro last season. So you can, he's consistent. He takes the consistency box. He takes the eye test box. He takes the brilliance box for me. I think Sergio Busquets behind Toni Kroos, I think that's looking really good for my team.
I think now I'm a bit conflicted because for me, it's picking a player who, in Xavi, who's, I mean, fantastic. And if this was, say, from 2006 to 2020, I would have probably gone Xavi. But my only issue now would be that he went to Al Sadd in 2015, as opposed to the person I'm thinking about, Modric, who was at Spurs and then Madrid for 8 years, won 4 Champions Leagues, won the Ballon d'Or as well. So I think I'm going to go with Modric. But, you know, I think it's very close, and people will be a bit shocked that we don't have Xavi in here. But I think, again, I've sort of, throughout this team, gone for a little more consistency wherever I can find it. And I think, you know, he won the Ballon d'Or in 2018, and he's been so integral to the Madrid multiple Champions League winning side. And I think, Ali, you've got one more midfielder left, right?
Yeah. And you were talking about shocks. I'm going to drop the biggest bomb on you. I'm not going to pick Xavi. I'm not going to pick Casemiro. I'm going to pick Thomas Muller. Now, hear me out. I mean, Thomas Muller has been so underappreciated, in my opinion. This guy won the World Cup Golden Boot 10 years ago. And he's still playing at the highest level. James Rodriguez won the Golden Boot 7 years ago, and he's completely irrelevant now. He's not starting for Everton. Thomas Muller won the Golden Boot 10 years ago, and he's still very much relevant, still one of the best midfielders in the world. So that's consistency for you. Secondly, he scored 5 goals in the 2010 World Cup, scored 5 goals in the 2014 World Cup. He's already crossed the 10 goals mark at the World Cup. 4 more goals, he becomes the highest scorer in the World Cup of all time. Apart from the goals, he has the record for most assists in a season in a top 5 league, which he got, I think, 2 years ago for Bayern Munich. And these are just the stats. What he does on the field is so efficient. I think he's really underrated. And, you know, to have a midfield of Busquets, who's guarding the defense, Toni Kroos, who's, you know, setting the pace of the entire match, you know, controlling the game, pulling the strings of the game, and Thomas Muller, who is just there to float around the pitch, do what he does best, provide assists, score clutch goals, which he's been doing all his life. So I think I really like the idea of a midfield trio of Busquets, Toni Kroos, and Thomas Muller.
Right. And I'm now in the lucky position of picking the left wing first. So obviously we've got Ronaldo. I don't think either of us needs to say much. Probably one of the two best players of all time. But Neymar, who's probably, I would say, in the top 5 players of the last 10 years, even though he has problems with injury and sometimes, you know, at PSG, his consistency. We've got Eden Hazard. Not been great at Madrid, but, I mean, his time at Chelsea speaks for itself. And we've got Frank Ribery, who was part of that Ribery, Robin, Lewandowski sort of front three. And obviously, I don't think I need to really get into who I'm going to go for. It's pretty straightforward for me in going for Ronaldo here. And, you know, his stats speak for themselves, his performances speak for themselves. So I think in left wing on my team, I've got Ronaldo. And while we move in, and before we move into right wing, I'm going to let you have your pick at the left wing spot.
I think out of all the positions that we've discussed now, I think this position is the position where apart from Ronaldo, the other three that we have, you cannot go wrong in this. You just cannot go wrong. I mean, all three of Ribery, Hazard, and Neymar have been brilliant, brilliant players, you know. And a lot of people will debate, Hazard be the third best player this generation or Neymar be the third best player this generation. And to be very honest, I'm conflicted between choosing between Hazard and Neymar. I mean, Hazard was my favorite player before he joined Real Madrid and completely ruined his career. The stuff he did on the field was completely magical. And, you know, Neymar needs an introduction, but I have a feeling he sort of ruined his career by going to the Oil Club of Paris Saint-Germain. And just because Neymar is playing for PSG, a club that I hate with all my heart, I'm going to go and pick Eden Hazard in that position. You know, on his day, he was unplayable. He could literally take the ball from his D, dribble past the 11 players, dribble past the goalkeeper and chip it in the opposition D. I think this guy was completely ruthless when it came to giving ankle breakers to the to his opposition. So I think, which is pretty ironic because he broke his ankle first season at Madrid and he hasn't recovered yet fully. but yeah, I'm going to pick Eden Hazard because he was my favorite player for a long, long time.
Right. So that's an interesting pick. And I think that's a pick that'll get people talking. But I'm going to let you get into the right wingers. And like I've said before, I'm a very nice guy. So I'm going to let you pick first and we all know who you're going to pick, but let's get into who all we have at right back first, right wing first.
I'm going to pick, this might come as a shock to a lot of viewers. It has to be Lionel Messi of Argentina and Barcelona and now PSG. Brilliant player. I don't think I need to explain my pick over here, right? Everyone knows how good Messi is. Greatest player of all time.
Right, and I am pretty conflicted between Arjen Robben and Gareth Bale here. Obviously, we've got Salah as well, who's been fantastic, but not for the same period that Bale and Robben have been. I think I've just seen a lot more of Bale, and I've seen him score much more, and I've seen him be clutch for Tottenham and then be clutch for Madrid at times. Even though Arjen Robben was as well, I think I'm going to go with my heart here and I'm going to pick Bale. So that's it for our wingers. And now finally, we've got the four strikers. We've got Lewandowski, who's again, Mr. Consistent. We've got Karim Benzema. We've got my personal favorite, Harry Kane. And we've got Luis Suarez. I think you said left wing was the toughest position. I think this is also up there as the toughest position to pick from. What do you think, Ali? Who have you gone for?
This is really tough. I mean, I can pick any four of these because I really like all four of them. But, you know, it has to be Lewandowski. I mean, obviously, Benzema is currently my favorite player for what he does for Madrid, the carry job he does for Madrid, but you can't look past Lewandowski during the best striker for your team. He scored four goals against a prime Real Madrid side in the Champions League semi-final 7 years ago, and that in itself makes me pick him. But you know, after that, Rob got the Ballon d'Or last year. In my opinion, should have been the Ballon d'Or this year, but that's a discussion for another time. Almost broke the Champions League score record. Could have broken it if there were two leg ties. I can go on and on about Robert Lewandowski, how many goals he scored for Poland, how many goals he scored for Bayern Munich, but you know, anything I say won't do justice to the player that he is. My pick for striker has to be Robert Lewandowski.
Right. So, you know, I really, really like, you probably really want to say Benzema, I really want to say Kane, but I've gone for Suarez. I think, like Lewandowski's record and his trophy haul speaks for itself, so does Suarez's. You know, I mean, he was fantastic at Liverpool. He broke the Premier League scoring record. He got his move to Barcelona, was fantastic at Barcelona. Didn't really want to move to Atletico. Went to Atletico, was fantastic for them, won them the La Liga. So I think, you know, I mean, he's just been very, very consistent. And I think if we have this discussion in a couple of years, I do think that Kane will probably take that spot, but I think for now Suarez has it. And I'm going to let you decide whether after the managers we do pick five or seven subs, because I think there are a lot of players who could be in this, but I think, you know, 11 and 11 is a good idea. And we've mentioned some of these other players that didn't make it, that are great players, but, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about picking 11 players. So finally, before we end this episode, we've got the managers. Obviously, we've got Zinedine Zidane, who won four Champions League, am I right? Oh, he won three. Ancelotti won one. Yeah, sorry. It's very late at night and I'm getting confused. So we've got Zidane, we've got Jose Mourinho, and we've got Pep Guardiola. I think all three have amazing records. Obviously, for me, Pep and Jose are at a different level as compared to Zidane. But Ali, I'm going to go with Jose. I think he's one of the best. He's, in my opinion, the second best manager of this century, behind Alex Ferguson. Are you going to go with Pep or are you going to go with Zidane?
I would have said Pep, but you know, his time at City really hasn't convinced me yet because of his repeated failure of not winning the Champions League. But on the plus side, I have a lot of Barcelona players, so Pep will feel right at home. And he might just do well with this team because of all the Spanish talent in it. So yeah, I think it's Pep Guardiola. He's been brilliant, forgetting all the failure he's done.
Perfect. So let's run through the teams once before we cap off the episode. In goal, I've got Buffon, left-back Marcelo, centre-back Bonucci, centre-back Chiellini, right-back Philipp Lahm, central midfield Andrea Pirlo, central midfield Modric, central midfield Iniesta, right-wing Gareth Bale, striker Suarez, Ronaldo, left-wing, and managed by Jose Mourinho.
Right, and I have, for goalkeeper, I have Manuel Neuer. In defense, I have Jordi Alba as left back, Dani Alves as right back, and the Spanish duo of Ramos and Piqué as center. In the midfield, I have Sergio Busquets as my DM, Toni Kroos as my central midfielder, and obviously Thomas Muller as my central attacking midfielder. In attack, I have the magical Eden Hazard as left wing, greatest of all time, Lionel Messi, on right wing, and the ruthless Robert Lewandowski as my striker. And for the manager, I have Mr. Tiki Taka, Pep Guardiola.
Perfect. So those are our two teams. It's been a quick episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Ari, thank you as always. We're going to be back this week with our FPL show. Obviously, had a bit of a break. And we'll be discussing. I've wildcarded. Ari, I don't know if you've wildcarded. Yeah, I think we're going to be talking a little bit about how to bring in Ronaldo and what we're expecting from this game week's fixtures. Anyways, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more of our stuff coming up in the next couple of months. Ari, thank you.
Stay safe, guys.